Miss Renee. Amen. That was awesome. I don't know about you, but I mentioned a few times ago, Pastor Carter preached for us last week, but one of the things that's been on my heart and mind as of late, and just the music has been set around, which ought to be about our God, and our picture or our mindset towards God and who He is a direct connection to the life that we'll live here on earth. I think it's important for us to realize how big God is, and then we can realize just who we are in comparison to Him. And boy, it doesn't take us long to want to serve Him, does it? I want you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Numbers, Numbers 23. And we're going to just kind of jump off there, a little jumping off point. And I have some things that in introduction, as it is my way, I usually kind of it takes me a little while to get going, and then it takes me a little while to stop. And amen. Thank you, my brother. And amen says it means let it be so. So he didn't know what he said. Amen. Amen. So as we open the Word of God today, I want to just talk to you about when we start to begin to study God, who God is, when we begin to really look into not only what He's done for us and all His benefits, mostly as a Christian or a believer, we begin in that place. We begin to look and listen to God's promises and what He's done for us. But God is much more than just His promises or what He did for us on Calvary, although I am thankful because I could not be redeemed without what Jesus did on Calvary to pay for my sin. I could not be what I am today without the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit of Almighty God. I could not be a Christian that lived on the top side of the storm. I'd have to live on the bottom side without the help of a holy God living in me and through me. As the scripture is going to tell us today, there is much to say. There is much to say, and God has stated who He is, or in some places, we'd have to use the term what God is, because God is so many things, and He states that over and over again in the scripture. Now, I just wrote down a few of those because that's not what I want to preach on today. But I believe God teaches in contrast. I studied and began to study who God is in the scripture. He defines Himself. And I want to list some of those things. And often you've heard preachers preach on who God is or what God is. But I want to preach this morning on what God ain't. It's a shorter list. Amen. But I want to list off some things so that you can learn in contrast this morning all the things that God is. And I'm not going to get them all, I can tell you that, because we don't have time. We would miss lunch, and we'd probably go on through dinner, and we probably wouldn't still get done then. But God says some things in the scripture point blank that He is. So for the tape room, I'd like for you to list the sermon as what God ain't. All right? Now, for the building, in the scripture, God is much more correct in His English. And He says, God is not. What God is not. Amen. In the scripture that we studied this morning. But before we dive in and we read the scripture this morning, let's ask the Lord to help us this morning to speak in and through us this morning. Let's pray together. Dear God, I thank You for all that You've done. Lord, I thank You for gathering us together in this place. God, I know that You've given us Your Word, God, and Your Word is truth. And I pray today that God, You'd use me as Your messenger, boy. Well, God, I pray that You'd just hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that folks would not see me or my words, but they would hear the message or the sermon that You gave me this morning, God, in my heart. Help me to pour myself out and Your message out. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You would do the work that I can't do. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You would go into the hearts of the hearers and that You would draw near those that need to come in salvation, that You would convict the heart of the believer that needs to step out and believe more in faith and walk with You closer. God, whatever needs to be done in the heart of the hearer, Holy Spirit of God, I pray You would do Your work. I ask it all in the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What God ain't. If I could say this in Numbers 23, and we're going to read the scripture here, but let me just give you some things. The very first time that God, it says God is in the scripture, is in Deuteronomy. God says many things about who he is in the earlier verses, but you don't find the exact statement, God is this, or God saying that statement of who he is or what he is. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 24, you don't have to turn there. I just want to give you these and I'm going to give you the land. And God says that God is a consuming fire. That is the first place in scripture that you see God is this. God says God is a consuming fire. In Deuteronomy 4:31, God is a merciful God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, God is one Lord. In Deuteronomy 6:15, God is a jealous God. In Deuteronomy 10:17, we find that God is God of gods and Lord of lords. In Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge. These are all things God is. In 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9, God is gracious and merciful. In Job 33:12, God is greater than man. In Job 36:5, God is mighty. In Job 36:26, God is great. In Job 37:27, God is terrible majesty. There are so many things in the scripture that God says that he is. He continues on in the psalm. And he says in each psalm, many of these psalms, in 7:11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Every time I go to 7:11, I think about God is wicked. God is angry with the wicked every day. In Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. 47:7, God is the king of all the earth. In 54:4, God is mine helper. In Psalm 59:9, God is my defense. In Psalm 62:7, God is my salvation. In Psalm 68:20, God is the God of salvation. In Psalm 73:26, God is the strength of my heart. In Psalm 75:7, God is the judge. In Psalms 99, verse 9, God is holy. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, God is pure. In Jeremiah 3:23, God is the salvation of Israel. In Daniel 9:14, God is righteous in all his works. In Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 2, God is jealous and revengeth. Mark 1:15, God is at hand. John 3:33, God is true. In John 4:24, God is a spirit. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians 3:17, God again is holy. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. And the final thing that we find in the scripture that God is, God says God is love in 1 John. Do you know that at the beginning of the book, we find that God states himself as a consuming fire? And near the end of the book, one of the last things that God says is that he's a consuming fire. But then he says, God is love. When you begin to know who God is, you realize the heart of God. And God is not just holy. And God is not just the judge of the earth. God is not just God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords and all the things that he says he is. But he's a righteous and holy God who doesn't want any man, woman, boy, or girl to ever enter into a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels called hell. And he sent his only begotten son from heaven to die on Calvary and to pay for. If you want to know what love truly is, God is love. And he showed his great love when he sent his only begotten son to die on Calvary and to pay for a way. If I could say it like this, because God was so holy and so just when there was no way, God made himself a way for you and I to go to heaven. But I want to know this. There's a lot of things that God says that he's not that we need to take notice of. We could study the scripture and we would know God and know some things about him just in what he says he is. But there's some things that God says he ain't. And in our day, it is important for us to study these things, because when God says I'm not that, it must mean that people are confusing him. He must have known in some age or in some day that God would need to know, that man would need to know, not just what God is, but what God ain't. And God says in Numbers 23, if you would look with me there this morning, in Numbers 23, 19, God is going to make a statement that may seem like, why would God have to make that statement? He almost makes a three-point message just in this one piece of scripture to let us know that God is not some things and why he isn't. Look at it with me. In Numbers 23, in verse number 19, God says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make good? God begins to speak to us and says, listen, I'm not like any man. God is not a man. If we could just clear the deck and make sure that we understand, God said, there are some things that I am. He laid out consuming fire, holy, judge, just, righteous, and all the three things that we listed off this morning. But one of the things God is not and should never be confused with is man. So often and throughout history, God has been watered down to a place just because man was made from God's image. God is not a man. He is not made in our image. God, we were made in God's. God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body like you and I do. God is not just, you can't form out a piece of gold, a rock, a stick, anything that you could try to make up. If you look across the world and all the things that man has tried to make a god or an idol out of, they've always had some form or some attachment to man. And God is not a man. Or let me say it correct for all of us in Florida. God ain't a man. You're going to have to maybe put up with some coughing this morning. I stripped my gears on the bus this morning. When you get 58 kids on a bus that holds 30, I'm sorry, I mean, holds all 58 of them. Amen. You got to sing real loud and scream real loud. But God's not a man. Folks, I don't know if you know this, but God is not a man. He doesn't have the image of a man. We were made in God's image. In Romans chapter 1, and we don't have time to turn there, but if we were to go to Romans chapter 1 this morning, we could show you that men, wicked men, fools, have gone out of their way to make images and worship them and call them God, but they are after the form of a man. We know that that is not right, and we know that that's, but God doesn't just stick out there, or that's not where he takes a stand and says, boy, I'm not a man because of this. God takes time to tell us that he ain't a man because he says, I don't lie. Now, I want you to look at the scripture and let me read it. It says, God is not a man that he should lie. What does that mean is true of every man? That they lie. Now, we don't like to be called liars. Now, I don't think I'm looking at an auditorium full of people that lie on a daily basis. But how many lies does it take to make you a liar? Just one. I had a lifetime full of them before I ever got to the age of 10. No, Mom, I did not eat that cookie. Chocolate on both sides of my mouth. Right? If we could boil it down and understand the scripture all the way to a place where we can put ourselves into that category. I heard a lawyer not too long ago preach his wife's funeral and get up at the end of that thing, and he made very good mention. He said, I am a lawyer, and I know all you folks that are our friends. He said, and if there's one thing in Revelation 21:8 that got every one of you, it said all liars. Now, it wasn't a room full of lawyers, or we'd all say amen to that. But it was a room full of all kinds of different people, and it's good for us to be honest with ourselves and realize that sometime in our life, we have done something that is not like God, that makes us fallen and in need of redemption. There are a lot of people that will bust hell wide open one day, but because in their pride, they bow themselves up and they make like, no, I've never told a lie. My good outweighs my bad. When did the Bible ever say that that mattered anyway? It matters when we get to heaven in reward, but you could never earn your way there. You could never outweigh enough bad to get to a place where God would say, you know what? I'm going to let you into heaven because you've been so good. No, there was only one good enough for God to say, I'll take his payment. Not just as his payment, because he didn't need to pay for his own sins, because he had none. See, God is not like a man. He didn't lie. Think about all the precious promises in scriptures that brings brand new light to. When I realize that I can trust God. See, sometimes we take, even as Christians, we put in our mind the best man that we know. And if we could trust him, we'll trust God that much. But there's no man good enough to take that spot where you can trust him. God is so farther and higher above any man. God can be trusted with every affair of your life. Every moment, every work, every sickness, every battle, every financial struggle. If I could say it as she just sung, every storm of the Christian life can be weathered because God is good and God is not a man and he does not lie. Amen and amen. God is good to us. He doesn't stop there, though. He doesn't just say, I'm not a man and I don't lie. He says, I'm not a man that I don't lie. Look at the scripture. He says that he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Do you realize God's will is perfect? God's direction for planet Earth is on course and doing well. Even when we think Biden gets in office and gets as bad as it can be and as awful as it could ever get as a president of the United States so-called voted in. As bad as it could be, God is working his plan and his promises, his provision and his future will come to pass just like he said it would. Biden or not. No matter what we do on planet Earth, I'm just here to tell you, I think it's awful important of us to lift ourselves in the image of God and think that what God said was good, even though we threw the monkey wrench of sin into that thing in Adam all the way back in the garden, it's awful prideful for man to think that we could destroy God's planet. It's awful prideful for us to think we could get enough cars or enough cows, and that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but enough anything else on planet Earth to get it so hot that the water would rise and flood the earth again when God said, I don't lie, and I promised you I'd never flood it again. Amen. That's awful proud of us, isn't it? Why would I spend all my time worrying about something God said would never happen again? Why would I spend all my dollars and all my effort to try to save a world that God said he's going to baptize by fire at the end of time anyway? Why would I live for something that God says, I'm going to give you a new one and it's going to be better? Hey folks, I'm just here to tell you, God is so great and his plan is so mighty and so powerful and so perfect, he doesn't have to repent from it. The word repent doesn't mean to change of mind. It means change of direction. God's perfect will is on course. And even though we don't like some of the places that course takes us through, we need to play through. I've been in some places when I hit the ball and I got in the sand. I got one place, I was down by an alligator. And he really wasn't playing with us, but he was on the course. And he act like he wanted to keep my ball. Now, I don't get to play golf as much as I like, which I've not played since I've been in Florida this last time. So that'll tell you how much I get to play. But that alligator liked that ball, and it was knocked up. I was right on the side of the green. And my friend kept saying, because he was behind, you ought to drop another one. And I was like, no, that alligator is going to move. He said, I don't think he's going to move. I said, he's only 6 foot. He'll move. You know, he did not want to move. He did not take off. I should have dropped the ball. I knocked that thing clean off the other side of the green. And it's just totally off point. But I hit that ball, and that is when the alligator decided to move. And that is what scared me. There are two things that scare me in this life. Snakes. Snakes will make me hurt myself, whether they're poisonous or not. In an alligator that stays absolutely still until I hit my ball and then jumps, that scares me as well. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you, we have some trivial things in this life that we try to explain, but God is so almighty. And even when we take it down to a golf game and we want to each one of our shots, God has laid out all those different things. God has laid out every passing moment in every decade. And we are so unfaithful to who he really is to water him down to a place that we could think that we could change his plan, that we could alter it, that we would knock it off course. You know that Pastor Carter preached about the Abrahamic covenant, and there was no if in that covenant. He didn't say, if Abraham does this, God said, I'm going to do this. There are a lot of things about Almighty God and his time and his will that God never said if about anything man was going to do. God promised that it would come to pass, no matter what direction we took in this life. But there are some promises that's given to us that if we would humble ourselves and pray, if we would do some things, God would change the course of our lives and of our nation and move us back into a place that we could get in on his will and in on his plan. That's how mighty a God that we serve. And let me tell you, God ain't a man that we should worry about him lying. And God ain't changing. God is not going to repent. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 6 as we hasten. Galatians chapter 6, I want to show you another things that God ain't. This is a popular scripture and we speak of it much. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 as you get there. So number one, God is not a man. Number two, God is not mocked. In verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth through the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth through the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There is a contrast in these verses, and God is trying to tell us, I'm not a man. I promised eternal life through my Son. If you would simply humble yourselves and ask me for it, if you would come to Jesus and put your faith and trust in him, your whole faith and trust, not Jesus plus baptism, not Jesus plus your good works, not Jesus plus some other prayer cloth or rosary beads, not Jesus plus anything, but Jesus alone, getting all your faith and trust in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you would do that, God said, "Woo! You could have something called eternal life, something that no man could ever guarantee to you." But God's not a man. God, and don't forget, God is not mocked. Here, God says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." No one's going to pull one over on the wool of eyes of God. No one's going to end up in heaven that doesn't deserve to be there. No one's going to be hiding in the back corner and going in the side of the gate and go, ta-da, I made it in anyway, and I went my own way. Frank Sinatra didn't get to go his own way, and you won't get to go your own way either. Amen and amen. God is not mocked. There are people in this life who will live this life to the flesh. They will live the life to the flesh, and they have an open admitting that they will go to hell and have a party there. I want to tell you, it's not a party that you want to attend. If you ever wanted to run into a burning building while the music maybe still was playing, that is the kind of party you'd be heading into. At least a party on earth, you could see things in front of your face, but not in hell. Your friends are not going to be partying with you. The Bible says there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth there. It's not going to be a party it down dude when you get to hell, because God is not mocked. Nobody will ever get one over on a great God. If you live this life to the flesh and you give everything to the flesh and you never give yourself spiritually, see, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That means you must be born again, as God said in John. God said that we've got to be born into His family. We were born into Adam's family, but a second Adam came and died on Calvary and paid for our way. And unless we are born into His family, we will never see God. We'll never see the heaven that He's prepared. We'll never see the mansion that He has prepared for us, because God is not mocked. God keeps His promises, folks. And He said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That same God that made that promise, if you don't come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He will not be mocked and you will not get into heaven. God is so good to us. He's not only, if I could say, He's not a man, but God is not mocked. But finally, God is not the God of the dead. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. God is not the God of the dead. Or for all of us country folks, if you like it a little better, God ain't the God of the dead. God ain't the God of the dead. Matthew 22, and look at it with me. I want to read a few verses. You'll notice that Jesus is speaking in these verses. Jesus is speaking, and He is going to say something about God. I think He knew something about God, don't you? Because He is God. There are a lot of people that teach a lot of different things. And for those folks that attend here regularly, you may feel like this is something or a side note that I don't need to say. But I am forever reminded that sometimes brand new folks or brand new believers come into our building and they don't know about something. And it would behoove me not to jump ship here. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, He is a third part of the Godhead. Wednesday night, if you didn't get to be here, there was a wonderful illustration of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All three, one person, but all three have a separate job. You say, "Well, I've heard that since I was a child," but have you always heard that Jesus is 100% man and 100% God? Did you ever think to understand the Holy Trinity? You say, "Well, how would you explain it?" Well, in my Sunday school class, I always take out an egg. And I crack that egg. And I said, "Now, all this is egg. But this," and I drop it down and I separate. You know how you balance it like this? I drop the egg white over here. And then I drop the egg yolk over here. And then I drop the shell over here. I said, "Now, all of this is egg. But this is egg white. And this is egg yolk. And this is egg shell." Hey folks, if we can take a simple earthly illustration and understand just a little bit about who God is all one and God is separate. Each part of God had us. You know why God is separate for us, the way He reveals Himself to us? Because it took all three parts of God to save your soul. In Ephesians chapter 1, God chose you before the foundation of the world. God the Son came and redeemed you through His blood on Calvary. And the Holy Ghost of God seals you into the day of redemption. Folks, I don't know if you understand just how big salvation really is, that all three parts of God are not only in it, but they're in it every day in your Christian life. So, because God is not a man, and God isn't mocked, and God is not the God of the dead. Do you realize when people go into ground, they pray, and God is so almighty that He could hear in Luke chapter 16, the rich man in hell. He could hear him crawl and scream and gnash teeth and call out and see Lazarus afar off in that place. And he called out and said, take a drip of water and drop it to my tongue. He knew what was going on in that place. But in the end of all things, God says He's going to take hell and everybody in it and cast it into a place called the lake of fire. That is the end of all things, folks. And at that place and in that time, that is a place that God chooses not to keep His presence. So that means when you get cast into outer darkness, it's a place where God's presence, and also I didn't read the last one. Do you know what one of the things God is? God is light. The only way you're going to go to a place that doesn't have any light is because God doesn't keep His presence there. Folks, this verse here, Jesus is speaking really to a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection, the Sadducees, the Pharisees who are always trying to trip Him up. And they ask Jesus here, and they ask him about the resurrection. In verse 29, Jesus says, answers and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead." Now Jesus gets down to business. He says, your question's about this, but that's not really the question you ought to be asking. Verse 31, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and look at it, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." I submit to you this morning, I hope you understand the scripture, Abraham had already died in the flesh. His body had gone into the ground a long time before this. Abraham had passed on, but Abraham was still living because he was living eternally spiritually. Abraham wasn't the only one. He had a son that he had passed on his faith to and said, you need to trust in the coming Messiah. And Isaac trusted in Christ, and Isaac was also buried in the ground hundreds of years before, but still living because he was living eternally. And he also said, the God of Jacob. Folks, I don't know, we often hear that, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll pass over the things and think and focus on the promises of God, the blessings of God, and even sometimes we'll look at what God is. But what God isn't is important as well. God is not a man that he should lie to us. Jesus came and he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was God in flesh, 100% God and 100% man, and said with his own lips that if you'll believe in me, if you'll trust in me, if you'll put your faith in me, that was the God that doesn't lie, folks. He'd change your eternal destination. How about this? God is not mocked. Christian, have you been living your life to the flesh, or have you been living it to the Spirit? Now, we can be born of the Spirit, but do you yield yourself to the Spirit to live for him each and every day? We serve a holy God who sees everything that goes on, and God's not mocked. You'll make it into heaven if you're a Christian, if you truly put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't want to just go to heaven. I want to go first class. I want to arrive on the shores of heaven and stand in that judgment line that will stand not for my sins, because Jesus paid for every one of them, but a line of reward. And I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That choice every day means whether I live to the flesh or if I live to the Spirit. And listen, God is not the God of the dead. Folks, I've heard people say, get up and say in front of a group of people like this, church people, we are all God's children. No, we are not. God is not the God of the dead. God is God of the living. My question to you today, is God your God? Are you living eternally this morning? And if not, why aren't you? You've heard a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard that all you need to do is simply put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So if you're not God's child this morning, if you're not one of the living, if God is not your God, then why wouldn't you make him your God today? Why wouldn't you put your faith and trust in the eternal riches of the Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, I know today you say, well, I understand all these things, preacher, but for the Christian, let me ask you again. I know you put your faith in him, but are you putting your day-to-day life in the Spirit, or are you investing it in the flesh day after day? With heads bowed and eyes closed, we've made an appeal to whether you're saved or whether you're lost. We've made an appeal to the Christian. Are you living to the flesh or are you living to the Spirit? And today, we're going to have an invitation as we do every Sunday morning. And the invitation is an invitation to you. While folks' heads are bowed and eyes are closed and the music begins to play, why don't you step out and come to the front and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a Christian and you've been living to the flesh and you want to talk to God about it, why don't you step out and come while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven, but I want to make God my God this morning. I want to trust in His Son." Would you pray for me, preacher? Would you slip your hand up and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I've never accepted Christ as my Savior, but I want to do that this morning." Would you slip your hand up so I could pray for you? I don't see any hands in the building, but that doesn't mean that you can't still come and receive Christ. Let's stand to our feet as the music plays and Brother Burt sings. I'm going to go to the front. You meet me there if there's something that you need to do for the Lord this morning.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting on to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Some folks have come, and maybe you're here and you've never been baptized, you've never joined this church, you've been attending for a while. We'd love for you to be a member of our church, either by statement or through baptism. Maybe you're here and you are a member. You've been a member a long time, and maybe there's something that God put on your heart this morning that you need to surrender to Him, that you've been living in the flesh to. I pray that you would do what God asked you to do this morning.
Just as I am, though tossed about with